regret it. Check out www.quitassist.com for help.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB Stony Brook. It's 6:01 time for Off the Wall. Good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you, joined tonight by Kyle.
Why, yes, this is Kyle.
Welcome back.
I feel welcome. It's good to be back, E. Hey, how you doing?
pretty good. You've had quite a series of adventures, traveling across the country twice.
No shortage of adventures, but that, hey, you know, that's just the way I like it.
Back in time for Thanksgiving, which a lot of people don't realize is this week. I don't know what happened, but for some reason, it seems to be earlier this year. You could have Thanksgiving next week. It would still be in November, but apparently that breaks the rules. It has to be on the, the 23rd or something?
22nd? I believe, yeah.
Yeah, the 29th. I guess the 29th is too late, but I don't know why that is.
And there were quite a people traveling in the various modes of transportation I participated in that had all kinds of plans, were visiting family, going back to see family, loathing visits with their family, all of that. And I was happy to be a part of that traveling. But yeah. I didn't take airplanes. It was terrestrial.
Well, you did take an airplane to get out there.
I did, but not very many people, I think, were doing holiday traveling at that point.
At that point, right, because I was about 10 days ago.
Yeah, but I took trains, and there were a lot of people taking trains to go visit family and stuff.
I got it. It was amazing, because I was tracking your trains. You are on particular Amtrak trains, and they have features on their website where you can see when it's getting into a station, and there are even some live cameras where you can see the actual train going by, which is really damn cool. Unfortunately, every single one of your trains, except for the last one, was hours and hours late. You were supposed to have time to wander around Chicago. You were supposed to have time to wander around Washington, D.C., but your trains just kept cutting it closer and closer, so you had no time. In fact, the last train, you missed your connection, so you had to be put on the next train from D.C. to New York, which actually was the only one that was on time. It's not Amtrak's fault, because they really do a good job. It's because the way our rail is set up in this country, freight trains get the priority, and you can be delayed hours because of freight trains. If we had a system where there was a rail just for Amtrak, boy, we could do some amazing things. If we had high speed, well, it wouldn't take you 3 days to get across the country, but still, it would be an amazing journey.
Absolutely, yeah. On a certain level, I was a little bummed that some of those layovers didn't happen, but at the same time, it's such a long journey. I didn't mind basically having 10 minutes in a city and getting on my very next train. It's like a fast connection. At one point, I had to, this is D.C. actually, I had to reschedule. I had to get on another train because I had definitely missed it on the last part. Of course, that was the Northeast Regional, of which there are many, many trains.
Yes.
But that process was a little cumbersome, and well, they need some help there in D.C. down the station. Amtrak is supposed to be renovating the whole take a number system. Apparently, the vendor went out of business. Yeah, so they couldn't update the number system.
Wait, what vendor went out of business?
So, you know, when you go and you have a number, like, next person, go to this desk,
desk
14. They had a specific vendor that did the LEDs or whatever kind of sign for each.
I don't understand. Once you set it up, it's done. You don't need a vendor anymore.
In any event, they couldn't service it because the vendor went out of business, so
wow.
They removed the whole thing, and what Amtrak employees were doing is waving at people. So when you were in line, the next person would look for an Amtrak employee waving frantically for you to come over to their desk. And, of course, they don't have any kind of soundproofing or barrier. Well, it's a small barrier to keep the germs away, but it's noisy in there because everything reflects. It's all marble and stone. And so they can't really hear you when you're trying to talk to them. And then they had to call certain customer service because the supervisor couldn't handle certain types of tickets and had to take his cell phone out and call another part of Amtrak customer service to help me get a reprint of a ticket for the new... There's some bits of the Amtrak system that still need work, both on the administrative side, but as you said, track. And the sharing of freight track really is the hardest part. I think it was in Wisconsin. I was stuck for 2 hours because they're waiting on siding and allowing stuff to pass. And my idea is add some tracks mm-hmm. at every single station. Just Amtrak, get some funds. I don't know where, under the mattress, under the couches in the White House or whatever, and build another siding or whatever at every single track, and then connect the dots when we have, mile-long rails to lay and that kind of thing. It would really help.
It really would. And people would use... Imagine if people use a train like they do from D.C. to New York. Imagine if it was that crowded.
Yeah.
And, it's like that in Europe. People go from city to city, and it's chaos, it's mayhem, but it works, and it's fast, and it's on time.
I really tried to talk up Amtrak to other customers in the system, given my knowledge, and we've talked about it a lot, the new rolling stock and stuff that were that is hotly anticipated for 2020, both for the MTA system and the Amtrak system. I'm not sure how they're going to be deploying that. It's made by a company of the name Alstom, which is based in New York, or the factory where they're making them is in New York. But I'm really excited for that because basically the superliners and the locomotives they have now, which have been around since the 80s, which have been around, mm-hmm. forever, haven't changed. And this will be a big change. So I tried to share some excitement with other passengers during my journey. But
they should hire you as the Amtrak like pep rally person.
Well, I would. And frankly, when I contact people, when I reach out, I've done it so much for various things, Hope and stuff like that, and we're not big on that kind of corporate, relationship, and all they want is social media crap now. But, people rarely call me back. People don't really respond. I get ignored a lot. And frankly, I'm used to it, and that's made me more persistent and more bold in those endeavors. And I'm fine with it. Ignore me. You'll be sorry someday. But cross-pollination there, it could be something, if we got to ride on the first train, I would compromise some of my more altruistic and foolhardy ideals to get that opportunity. I know it won't happen, and I'll sleep fine either way. But if you can find me, let's do the deal. No, let's do some of that stuff. But it's a little shilly. We don't really do that. It's off brand.
Sleep fine either way on the Amtrak train itself.
Oh, I did. Yeah, I find that I was on upper level for the longer part, and that has, if you think about it, more of the tossing back and forth. Because you're higher up from the axis, which would be the rails themselves. So you get moved around a bit more, but it kind of lulls you off and causes neck strains.
In India, people ride on the top of the train. I don't know if they sleep up there, but you're under the stars.
They do. Amtrak does not have that class of ticket yet, but perhaps...
It might be worth looking into.
Perhaps if there's any further delays. And the other thing is ridership is down, and they really, really need to plug their system. They need people on those trains.
Well,
Trump's
trying to kill it. That's the thing. He's doing everything to hurt it.
The freight companies are trying to kill it.
Yeah.
They don't want Amtrak on their rails anyway. So people, I get that you want to, be places quick. But realize that, airplanes are mostly subsidized so we can continue to make jet fuel for the military-industrial complex and maintain air supremacy. But, all that said, there's nothing wrong with terrestrial travel. There's nothing wrong with having a meal, several meals during your trip and getting to know people. Someone on the train commented, and I think this is really spot on, folks are antisocial on planes. They put in the earbuds. They play the MP3.
I'm antisocial on planes.
It's uncomfortable.
You don't want to be sitting. Well, maybe you do want to be sitting next to me. I don't say a word.
Yeah, it's disease-ridden, and you're in a tube with all these other icky people. You can't get away. All that. But you know, air travel used to be social. Now, granted, they were smoking and doing all sorts of other things on the planes, but people would talk. People would share.
All sorts of other things? Besides smoking, what else were people doing back then?
I don't know. Drinking old fashions while they're piloting?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I understand you can do that.
It's a mad
trains
mad
are different. Trains are very social. I'm very social on a train.
My point is that it was such a new thing, such an unusual thing, that people were excited to share the experience with other passengers. We've so normalized and so denigrated our own comfort in cramming people on and making these airlines somewhat profitable, even though they're subsidized. I think that it's just so taken for granted and so boring and routine. We've lost the sort of romanticism. It's not as – it's just utilitarian. And as such, people don't talk. They don't share. In fact, if somebody talks – in your row of seats on a plane, they're a pariah. They're a problem.
Well, it depends how they talk, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
I agree.
In any situation, there are people that you wish would not continue speaking. Maybe you're feeling that way right now, and I will let you talk. But yeah, it's
yes, well,
it's the kind of thing where, yeah, it's quite the opposite of what it once was, and that's so sad. But I find it's different on Amtrak because you can get away from people. You can go five cars down and avoid them. There's many bathrooms. There's many levels and compartments, and just that size. And ability.
Go hang out with the engineer for a while, and then
yeah, go smoke with him. That's fine. Yeah,
it's hard to get to, but you can get to that locomotive if you climb over a few cars. But yeah, you know, the dining car, you wind up sitting with strangers, and you talk to them, and they're usually interesting people because hey, they're on a cross country train. There's a reason for that, and they have stories to tell. And we've done it a few times, and we always have good conversations, much better than on planes. And you get to see the land passing in front of you, which, you know, can be a good thing, can be a bad thing, depending on what it is you're seeing at the moment. But I'd much prefer that. And, you know, all your meals are taken care of, your accommodations are taken care of, you can relax, read, do work, whatever.
But buy drinks and tip.
Yes.
They need all the help they can get. They sell out all the concessions, everything, buy some meals, do the whole thing. Amtrak. Amtrak needs you, people,
yeah.
And if it's ever to improve, we need to utilize it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd like to see more construction, more rails being built. You actually, when you arrived at Penn Station, I thought I'd just meet you at Penn Station, but no, it was a bit more complex than that because you found a new part of Penn Station that I didn't even know about yet.
Wasn't that fun?
Yeah, well, that was a lot of fun, Kyle. I thought I'd search for you for a half hour.
How it happened was I got on the very last car on the Northeast Regional train when I was rescheduled because of lateness in D.C. And that last car pulled in, obviously, much further back than the end of the tracks there, directly under Madison Square Garden or at that end of the platform. So the opposite end of that happens to be where the post office is. And for the longest time, there were no stairs. There was a lot of construction. There was a lot of, the blue plywood they put up when they're doing stuff.
Yeah.
Well, they're not doing stuff there anymore. And, in fact, a lot of the improvements, I think, we were talking about this a while ago, the stuff in anticipation of the East Connection?
Yeah, East Side Access.
East Side Access, that's what it is. And those sorts of machinations there.
That's where the LIRR is going to Grand Central.
Right. And then what's the other yard under the big metal, the new, what is that? Is that Union Station?
Where? What city are we in?
New Jersey Transit, the new New Jersey Transit yard. Is that connected in any way?
You mean the West Side Yards? Next to Penn Station.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's where the tunnel is to Jersey.
Got it. Okay.
And trains park.
So all of that has had a lot of surgery lately. And in short, they're done with the part of it that comes up right below the post office. And what it is each side of the post office, west and east, I believe, our entrances now.
It's both west. One's north, one's south.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
They're both west.
Both are west, but on either corner of the post office, right behind or aside, adjacent to Madison Square Garden, they're brand new entrances. And I came out, I basically went up the first stairs because I was at the end of the train. First stairs I saw, they were new. I started saying, oh, wow, this is different, and this isn't what I'm used to. Because normally I run or go all the way to the front end where the locomotives are. I was not thinking. Ended up in this brand new space. It's gorgeous. There's LEDs, this amazing sky scene in the roof, the LEDs, and a beautiful bright yellows, huge signs telling you what street you're in, arrows telling you how to get to what other what other side and what other corner, where to go to get to the subway, to get to the LIRR. There's LIRR boards there. So you don't just have to go into the one in Penn Station where everybody stands.
They're better boards, too.
They're way better. They've LEDs and same color coding, but it's brilliant. And there's several of them. So as you walk, you can continue to watch whether your train is as you go further down in there to get to your track. And it's incredible. There's glass, so you can see down to the tracks. And you can really tell that it is going to be spectacular. It's going to be very functional. There's a lot of, as I said, LED, beautiful paint and new everything, and it's really impressive.
But if you're standing in the regular Penn Station, you know, everybody else is, there's no sign telling you how to get there where you were. So I had to find that on my own. And, of course, first I went to the wrong entrance on the west side. I went to the southern one. You were at the northern one.
That's
but eventually we found each other and then explored the whole new area. And that's just the first part of it. It's going to be really amazing. You can actually see the trains from the concourse, which is cool.
Right.
But it's progress.
And a lot of this stems from reorganizing the way Amtrak's funding was, the whole tri-state funding being separate from the rest of Amtrak. These kinds of very well thought out capital improvements are so needed and so important, especially for New York City. But as I said, we need extra tracks at every Amtrak stop across the country so that it's just a matter of kind of connecting the dots when we're actually serious about putting in passenger rail.
Yeah, well, it's good to see expansion and improvements on infrastructure like that, despite the efforts of people in power to prevent it. In New York, I think we're doing a good job. I hope it continues. While you were on your journeys, I actually I kind of got sucked into this whole other world on YouTube. You can actually, I mentioned you can watch trains going by on live cams. And I watched a couple of live cams that weren't on your line. It was on a line called the Southwest Chief, which goes from Chicago to L.A. And, of course, there's a lot of freight traffic that goes through there. But I was watching a particular station in Flagstaff, Arizona. And it's just really amazing because you see all these trains going by constantly. And once a day, there's an Amtrak train that's headed to L.A. And I just found it funny because I look at the Amtrak website and I see, okay, how late is that train today? It's never on time. Sometimes it's only 20 minutes late. Sometimes it's 4 hours late. And you get to watch the people at the station as they anticipate the train coming. They hear a train coming, and they all come out of the building, and it's a freight train going by, and, of course, they have to all go back. I know better because I have the actual app, and I'm looking at what time the train is actually supposed to get there. And then there's an ongoing chat if you're on the YouTube channel, and you see people who are train buffs just commenting on this, and they're making all kinds of remarks, knowing things about various trains. For instance, there was a similar cam in Missouri where people noticed this freight train going by that was carrying locomotives that said Metrolink, and they were going to L.A., because there are new locomotives for the L.A. Metro or the suburban line. And so people were talking about, hey, when is that train going to be passing Flagstaff? And there's all this talk going on for a full day about when that particular freight train with, I think, F-135 locomotives is going by. I learned all this stuff just by having this on in the background and checking in occasionally. And it was really pretty cool to see and to realize that I'm actually understanding what's going on here. There was a military train that was passing through Barstow, California, at another webcam, and people were talking about, okay, what time is that going to be passing by in Flagstaff? And I was able to see it a second time. It sounds, if you're doing other things, it's not as pathetic as it might sound. I don't think anybody is paying full attention to that. But it's neat to be able to watch these things happening in real time.
Yes, Southwest Chief, I believe that was my nickname in high school.
Uh-huh, yes.
But, yeah, I noticed plenty of train enthusiasts. I won't call them the F word, but they're definitely, you know, there with their cameras and, you know, checking things out. Another group that you wouldn't necessarily think but were there on the rails or beside them were hunters in Pennsylvania and also West Virginia. There were
hunters on the train.
Well, on the beside it and along the route, and they were obviously taking notice of the train while it disturbed all the animals they were trying to kill. But they were out there and in full effect, given the season, and of course, you know, turned their heads to acknowledge the train as we passed through their lovely wooded areas.
It only happens once a day, so that that particular train goes by once a day.
Yeah, they didn't seem too interested. Not as much as that other class of individuals.
Okay, well, that's enough train talk for today. We have all kinds of other things that have been going on. I don't know. Let me first start with something that I've been dealing with. I made a mistake, okay? I admit I made a mistake in retrospect. It didn't seem like a mistake at the time. Here's the deal. I changed healthcare companies a couple of years ago. And I'm happy with them. I've never had to use them, but I'm still happy with them because, well, they answer questions and they're kind of modern and they have nice apps and things like that. So, you know, here at Stony Brook, when I had my old healthcare plan, I would see a doctor and it was covered by that particular plan. Okay, I like the doctors so much, and they do have very good doctors here at Stony Brook. I like the doctor so much, I decided, you know what, I'm gonna keep seeing that doctor, even though it's not covered on my healthcare plan. I'll pay out of pocket just to see this doctor once a year, get an update, and then if I have to get anything else done, that goes on the healthcare plan. Seemed like a good deal. You know, seems like a good idea. It might be a bit unusual, but, you know, that's kind of what freedom is all about, making choices. So, okay, I did that. Actually, I did that last year, and I did that this year. And I didn't think it was going to be a big deal. You know, if anything has to be done, you know, any kind of procedure, I simply go on network. But to see the actual doctor once a year for your annual checkup, that's out of pocket. All right? I mean, does that make sense, Kyle?
Yeah, it's sort of the manual way of doing things, you know, you're essentially paying with cash, right? I mean, it's
credit card, but the point is, you know, the appointment, okay, since I like the doctor, I'm going to pay cash or credit. I'm going to pay out of pocket is the term, and that's what I did. So when I got there, they said, okay, well, you know, give us $300, you know, which I figured would cover pretty much everything, you know, 20-minute, half-hour appointment, not, you know, nothing really that amazing, just a lot of updates, you know, getting your weight, blood pressure, that sort of thing. I forgot about this, but they suggested an EKG, all right, and that what that is, you know, it literally took 5 minutes. They stick a bunch of things on you, check out your heart, see if anything's unusual, and you're done. And that's that, you know, EKG, finished, flu shot, want a flu shot? Yeah, give me a flu shot, have that. That's done. You know, I figure that doesn't cost anything. You get that for free at a drugstore. All right, I was wrong about that. Got a call from the Stony Brook people a couple of days ago, or last week actually, asking if I'd like to have some kind of a payment schedule for the remaining balance. I already gave you $300. I mean, that didn't cover it. No, sir, you owe an additional $1,000. A 20-minute, half-hour appointment cost me $1,300 just to be checked up. I mean, okay, the EKG, you know, I didn't even think that was going to cost anything, you know, because it was so casual. Just, yeah, let's check this out. Take 5 minutes. You know, it was done so quickly that it didn't even register as something that could be expensive. And, you know, the flu shot, I asked about that. Oh, that's $100 right there. How come it's free at a drugstore and I had to pay $100 to get it done here? That didn't make any sense either. These are things they don't mention to you when you're there because they can't be bothered with the insurance crap. You know, they basically just, you know, you're there for your health and that's why you're there. But, wow. Okay, so, you know, I asked them to send me an itemization before I pay anything. And I have it right now. I haven't opened it yet, but I'm going to open it right now. See, we can go over this and see what it is that wound up being $1,300 for a half-hour appointment. I mean, are you as shocked as I am by this?
Would you like a drum roll?
No, I don't need a drum roll. Okay. I think I pretty much, I gave the introduction, you know, enough right here. It's a small envelope. It's not big. It's not, you know, one of these massive things. All right, let's see what we got here. Okay, where are we? Okay. Influenza vaccine, $100. EKG, $150. That wasn't that much. Oh, wait. No, EKG was $250. Administer immunization, $150. They told me it was $100. Wow. Okay, so we're up to $400 now.
Yeah, it's $300,
$400. Wait. Hold on a second. No, I'm reading it wrong. Influenza vaccine, $100. Okay. Administer immunization, $150.
Oh, so for them to inject you?
Hold on a second. You mean the flu shot is the vaccine is $100, but it's $150 for them to give it to me?
Yeah.
Boy, they gave it to me, all right.
Yeah, they gave it to you.
Oh, come on. Look, Stony Brook is better than this. Let's see. $800 to resuscitate and revive.
Wait, what? Did you fall over?
Apparently, I passed out in the waiting room, and they had to restart my heart. Okay, no, that makes sense. Now,
wait a minute. You didn't tell me about that.
Well, you don't remember these things when they happen. No, that's not what happened. That's not what happened at all. It should have. For this amount of money, it should have. No, this says $800 preventative med services. What does that mean, preventative med services? Is that a conversation? This is what's wrong with healthcare in this country. You know, for that amount of money, $1,300, I could have flown to Europe, all right? I could have flown to Europe, had an exam there, which is probably just as thorough as an exam here, flown all the way back. And I don't know, maybe my meals would have been covered as well. I'll have to get back to you on that. I don't know, but I know that $1,300 would have covered airfare. I'm sorry.
Your blood pressure, just take a breath.
Yeah, I can't afford to have to go to another appointment.
Well, at least you're on campus here. You know.
I am never doing this again. And you know what? You know what I'm going to tell them when they call me back to ask how I want to pay? I'm going to say, you drag this out for as long as possible. What's the longest I can get? What, a year, 3 years? Because I want to open up my credit card bill every month and be reminded what a bad idea this was.
No, tell
every
them,
single time. That's
tell
what
them,
I want.
Tell them you want to amortize it over 30 years like a mortgage, you know?
Yeah, you know what?
15-year, what do you have, the 10, 20-year plan?
I paid $125 for my first car, all right? And then the next car, which I bought from my chief engineer, Frank, by the way, many years ago. I paid $200. A good car, too, by the way. Very nice car. 1964 Chevy Nova. Okay, so I'm up to $325 on cars. The next car is $450. You realize I have to get like four or five cars in before I equal this one-half-hour appointment. I'm going to write letters. I'm going to tweet. I'm going to pick it, maybe, if I have time. But I will never make this mistake again. And, yeah, okay, I'll stay in network. I guess I can't pick the doctor of my choice because this is the kind of nonsense that happens, $1,300 for a half-hour appointment, $1,300. I'd like to know. Other people have experiences like this. Write to us, otw@2600.com. I thought I was doing the right thing. You know, I was willing to pay, what, $300-$400 for a half-hour appointment, which is outrageous in and of itself.
You know, actual drug dealers give you better deals.
They do, don't they?
Like, they really do.
They really do.
They want your business.
And they're there for you.
They are.
Wow. Okay, well, enough about that. Oh, it's a fundraising edition, too, folks, by the way. Not for me, for the radio station. If you support this, support what we're doing, please give a call now. I see our tally room is staffed with people. That's good to know. Our phone number is 631-632-6901. That's 631-632-6901. That is our fundraising line. Call that now and support the radio station. We have all sorts of things that you can get. You can get a baseball cap, a winter beanie, a mug for a pledge of $35.
50 gets you a local restaurant gift certificate.
That's right. And we have many local restaurants around here which are really, really good. So call in and ask about that.
I like that.
For $75, you can get a WUSB sweatshirt just in time for winter.
A hoodie.
You missed it. We had a winter storm that nobody was expecting last week.
You mentioned that.
I just happened to go out, you know, thinking this is a good time to, like, pick up something. And, bam, that's when it hit. Right at rush hour, too, which made it extra horrible because everybody was on the road at the same time. And we got something like 5 inches of snow before it all melted the next day. And it was only supposed to be a dusting before it turned to rain. It just lasted a little bit longer, hit at rush hour. It was the worst possible timing. It took me 3 hours to go a couple of miles. But it was fun. It was fun because we were all experiencing the same thing. And you have to sort of realize that at some point your you're in it, and you might as well just bear with it.
Sort of a preamble to the season, you know, get you thinking about, okay, do I have all my snow shovels and my salt and the furnace, and you know, it gets you in the mindset.
Yes, absolutely. So WUSB is a non-commercial radio station. We survive on your generosity. And I understand that this fundraiser is going to keep going until we hit our ultimate goal of $20,000, except they're not telling us how close we are to that. So I think we're getting close to that. But if you want it all to end, just pledge a sizable amount, and maybe it'll end like that.
That's ominous.
Yeah. No, I mean in a good way. We'll reach our goal.
The fundraiser, you want it all, like the entirety of the fundraiser to end, not – it all,
exactly.
Like the universe.
But. Exactly. Well, that's later. But what we can do is, just keep, spreading the word throughout the broadcast day, and hopefully people will come together and we'll reach our goal.
If you prefer not to call in and you're technologically savvy, you could probably donate on our website, which is WUSB.FM. And you may have already mentioned that, but I just wanted to reiterate it.
No, reiterate that. Absolutely.
Consider it reiterated.
Yes.
What else is going on?
I'm still steaming about that bill. I'm just looking at it. It's mocking me over here.
Okay. Well, just put it down. You're clenching. Let me out of it. I'm going to pull it out of your hand. Stop. Just put it over here.
I have pretty good grip, though.
Yeah, that's... you should mention that to your doctor.
I am never going to speak to my doctor again because I can't afford to.
Mm.
That's how it is.
Wow. Well, you think the richest country and the greatest nation
We're not the greatest nation.
Best, most spectacular, greatest, richest, bestest is awesomest and this wouldn't be an issue. But no other worser. Yeah, that's right. I said worser.
Not much worser.
Much worser countries, they have it better, and we don't. Why? Because freedom.
Because of good choices. We make bad choices.
Greed, self-interest, and needless disintegration.
And allowing people to get away with things that they shouldn't get away with. You know, I was looking at the news today, and I saw what Trump did today. Yeah, you can just fill it in, folks. You know, it doesn't matter what week you're listening to because there's always going to be something. Today, though, was particularly egregious because basically we kind of gave a pass to a killer. You know, we said the Crown Prince, you know, CIA, the CIA. You know, I don't trust them operation-wise, but I do trust them intelligence-wise. When they say something is happening, it's probably what's happening. And they concluded that the Saudi Crown Prince, Mohammed bin Salman, was complicit in the killing of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi. In fact, he planned it.
Say why.
Say why?
Yeah, they got his phone calls.
Okay.
With his, like, top aides talking to him.
Well, yeah, I guess that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's like, hey, we have wiretaps of your calls, dude.
So, yeah, I mean, that pretty much encapsulates it. Yeah, I don't trust the CIA to mind privacy because they spy on people, but that's what they do. And when they do it, they... do a pretty good job, and they get the intelligence. There it is.
Check out the work product, people.
So, all right, that's not enough for Trump. And the reason it's not enough for Trump is because Trump makes money from Saudi Arabia, and he wants to continue doing that. So he's willing to turn a blind eye towards this evidence and basically say, okay, you know what, he killed him, but so what? And basically saying, maybe he did it, maybe he didn't do it. Well, we know he did it. We know. The evidence is right there. And today, shamefully, the United States is going to just allow that and say, that's okay. We're going to keep, you know, helping you guys out and keep doing business with you. We're losing all legitimacy and as far as anything goes. And as far as criticism, I was thinking this before. If Hillary Clinton had gotten elected and she was doing the things that, this guy is doing right now, such as pardoning killers and treating immigrants in a horrible way and just all these other things. Yeah, she's a Democrat. Would we be critical of her? Absolutely we would be critical of her. My God, we'd eviscerate her. These horrible things would not stand no matter who was doing them. Now, you flip that around and you ask Republicans, okay, now if Hillary Clinton was doing these things, would you be critical? Absolutely. They'd be critical no matter what she did. But now that Trump is doing them, it's okay. You know, whatever he says goes. You know, economically, foreign policy-wise, anything, even if all the evidence points to the contrary, you're going to support him because he's your guy. And, you know, I am never comfortable with blind allegiance. And nobody should be, but that is what we are seeing today. And it's shameful. And I just wonder, how are we going to survive this? Because it just seems like people are being coaxed into just this, this, you know, accept at all, no matter what, at all costs, whatever this person tells you. And that is how dictatorships are formed. That is how people are brainwashed. We've seen it before. Didn't think we'd see it here, but I think it's happening.
Yeah, I think this is one of the reasons I'm not going to Thanksgiving. I'm not participating. I think it's unforgivable supporting administrations like this, and I don't want to get into it. You know, I feel like we're at a polar state, and I have family members that tried to tell me that, you know, our strategic alliance with Saudi Arabia is more important than this journalist's life. And I can't even begin to say how problematic that is and how disruptive it would make a holiday like that. I'm okay with saying that. I'm okay with saying that. I think we're at a very difficult period. And I think Boeing Defense should step up and not put jobs and money ahead of this crime, and not side with the president. And if they don't step up, I think they should be dissolved.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we should support Northrop Grumman or Raytheon or BAE or any other defense contractor than a crass, cold, and calculated business decision over this journalist's life. It's incredibly disappointing, and this president doesn't see that he can't do good when it's right there on a silver platter for him. And that friends and other people, it's just one of many issues that is just incredibly hard to talk to about this to people. And people that know that you're on the radio or that you're involved in journalism, this is important to us. And, you know, it's not – I don't feel threatened personally, but I find it incredibly difficult to accept any kind of arguments where, you know, this is somehow okay for jobs or for some royal allegiance. You know, why is Saudi Arabia the only, Muslim country that we can have as an ally? Can we not make new friends in the area? And this makes me want to spit, the whole thing.
No, you can spit. We have a special section of the room for that.
And I am exaggerating. I love family and everybody, and we often differ. Everybody has that and is probably thinking about that going into the holiday. And it's not quite as bad as that. But I am just so, so disappointed at the tenor of the respect for journalism and that we're even entertaining this and that we can't find a bipartisan unity for people that work for institutions like the Post or any other news organization. You know, if this was happening to, you know, InfoWars or TMZ or, any other cruddy outlet, we would be as outraged regardless of our opinion about it. And it's just insidious and sickening to see how many people are willing to buy into the excuse, and in particular Boeing, to be the excuse for apathy in this.
Well, you know, it's state-sanctioned murder of a journalist for the Washington Post. If you want to make it as close to home as possible, that is what we are excusing. And when something like this happens, you know, and it's state-sanctioned, you hurt the people responsible for it. And there's not enough of that going on, okay? We just turn a blind eye when these things happen, and it's hypocritical, it's wrong, it makes me embarrassed. Saudi Arabia has proven itself to not be a trustable ally. I mean, most of the hijackers were from Saudi Arabia. What they do to their own people, the way they treat their citizens, so many horrible things. And yet we pick on Iran. You know, we basically renege on the deal that we agreed to, and we don't suffer for that. We should be feeling the pain, too. The rest of the world needs to punish us. I'm telling the rest of the world this. Now, make us feel the pain, because we deserve it. We're doing some really stupid things. Backing out of the Paris Accord, you know, the way we are treating the rest of the world, the way we are treating immigrants, you can't let us get away with this. I am begging, asking the rest of the world to make us feel the pain, because nobody seems to have the guts to do this. We're all being nice and polite, but, you know, Trump just keeps getting worse and worse. We need you to step in. And you know, on our end, we are going to make the pain be felt as well. We need to step up. We need to surround that White House. We need to get that guy out of there one way or another. I can survive Pence. I really can. You know, Pence is just a jerk. And God knows we've dealt with enough jerks in our time. But this guy is dangerous. This guy can start a war that will end the world. And thank God he has not yet gotten his hands into anything military. But he will. Another 2 years of this, he will. And we have to do something to stop it, no matter what it takes. Now, if this was, you know, if this was the other side as outraged as we are right now, they would be charging the White House now with all their guns. It would be a stupid move because they'd never survive. But, you know, that's what supposedly the Second Amendment stands for, is toppling these governments that do not represent the interests of the people. Unfortunately, they happen to agree with this government, it seems. The NRA is all, you know, gung-ho for it. But imagine if they didn't. If that was Hillary Clinton doing the exact same thing, they would be charging the White House right now with all their Glocks and whatever it is they've got in their hands. And they would not make it to the fence, probably. But the point is, that is what you guys allegedly stand for. And you're a bunch of hypocrites, because you would never actually be able to do anything with that. And here we have a situation where that's exactly what we're talking about. And all you're doing is backing the fascists. And it's disgusting.
Yeah, if my layover was longer in Chicago, I would have been at Boeing headquarters screaming like a crazy person. I didn't have time. But, yeah, I mean, think of all your beautiful kids that are signing up for the military. Trump gets to decide. And ask some Vietnam vets. Ask some real war heroes that know. Ask them what it's like to be in a war for fun or whatever aim the president decides. He's the one that gets a bunker, right? He's the one that's
protected. He gets protected. I'll tell you, man, I would not hold the door for him if he was the last person out of a burning Macy's. I don't know why I picked on Macy's, but but I would not do that. His life is worth less than anyone in the military, than anyone anywhere else, and he has proven that.
Our tax dollars pay for all of that, too. So the decision-making that's going on with our funds, your hard-working dollars, the taxes you so rarely actually want to pay, you know, they get to go to this waste. So, you know, get excited. 2019 is going to be a rodeo.
You know, speaking of military, I'm mad that he's making members of the military go to the border to face off against refugees. And they're not going to be home for Thanksgiving because of that little play that he's enacting down there. You know, pretending these people are somehow a threat and that we need to actually put the military on our borders. It's stupid. It's insane. You know, they're not really in any danger at all, unless they brush up against the razor wire that they're putting up. But, you know, they're being taken away from their families for this. And that is abuse of power. And imagine the kind of abuse of power that, you know, he could be embarked upon if he decides he wants to invade someplace. And the more frustrated he gets, and he does get frustrated so quickly, the more
irrational.
The more actions he's going to take, and they will be irrational.
Yeah, the more irrational. Okay, so, well, enough of the light stuff. Do you have any heavier topics that we can maybe get into?
Well, I found this story last week, actually, from APTN, one of our favorite networks.
Oh, yes.
We just started getting them again because the leaves fell off the tree.
I want to visit them. I really do, and I would love to help get APTN and some native networks down here in the state.
APTN is Aboriginal People's Television Network. It's a Canadian network. We get it on a Canadian satellite dish. Unfortunately, a tree has grown in the way of the satellite dish, and we have to chop a couple of branches. But when the leaves fall, as they did last week, all of them at the same time, the signal comes back, so we get it in the winter. Anyway, this story, apparently a grocery store in Iqaluit burned down, Iqaluit being up there in Baffin Island. I went there when it was called Frobisher Bay back in the 1980s. I really think we should go up there at some point. But listen to this story. This is on APTN. Police have charged an underage female with setting the fire that destroyed one of Iqaluit's major grocery stores. She is accused of arson and disregard for human life, but she cannot be identified because she is a minor. That's the whole story. That's the whole story. I just like, you know, it's kind of like they seem to have like a bit of a sulking attitude, but she cannot be identified because she is a minor. That's the end of the story. We can't say anything more. you know, they wanted to say more, but they couldn't.
I'm thinking of Chris Lilly or like Jemai or something. But yeah, no, she was mad, and we don't know who she is, but we're just letting everyone know that there's a minor arsonist.
Well, it's a big deal because, you know, in Iqaluit, you don't have many grocery stores.
Or fresh food, right?
Yeah, it's very expensive up there. We're talking about northern Canada. So, yeah, and arson is a serious problem. So I imagine there's probably more in the story by now. That was last week. But, yeah. And what else? We have all right, this story I just saw today in the Washington Post. It's kind of disturbing. Romaine lettuce is unsafe to eat in any form. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said Tuesday in a broad alert in response to a new outbreak of illnesses caused by a particularly dangerous type of E. coli contamination. The CDC told consumers to throw away any romaine lettuce, and I like romaine lettuce the best, actually. That's my favorite. And is throw away any romaine lettuce they may already have purchased. Restaurants should not serve it. Stores should not sell it. People should not buy it, no matter where or when the lettuce was grown. It doesn't matter if it's chopped, whole head, or a part of a mix. All romaine should be avoided. And this is the most sweeping thing I've ever heard CDC say. But, wow. Yeah, if you have romaine lettuce in your hand right now, drop it. Like it's a hand – no, not hand grenade will explode, but just drop it. Get away from it. It's dangerous.
Yeah, it's like a viral or like a chemical or a biological weapon.
Yeah, apparently. No deaths have been reported, but the CDC alert, which is issued just 2 days before Thanksgiving, reported that 32 people in 11 states have become sick from eating contaminated romaine. Of those, 13 have been hospitalized. One patient suffered from a form of kidney failure, and the Public Health Agency of Canada reported 18 people infected with the same strain of E. coli. So yeah, bad year for romaine lettuce. Well, and it's the most healthy of the lettuces too, I understand.
I mean, I'm not going to say that small farming and local food is a panacea, because you can definitely have problems with using bad compost and these kinds of things. But having large industrial agriculture creates a massive weakness in your food supply, and when we rely on only several producers and so on and so forth, you end up having these kinds of sweeping things across entire crops, no matter where they are in the country, because they're only coming from a limited number of sources. And also the biological diversity is less with large-scale agricultural production, and it, of course, has done wonders for feeding the very, very many people in this planet that don't seem to stop appearing. We have tons and tons of mouths to feed. I get that, but yeah, you need some diversity, and there has to be a little bit less reliance, and otherwise you end up having these kinds of sweeping issues.
That's right, absolutely. But still, it's a shock. It's a shock to see this happen, especially so close to Thanksgiving. And, romaine lettuce, it's a staple. It really is.
Well, there's other greens. You could get kale.
Uh-huh.
You could get...
I guess you can.
What else could you do? A mix? What do they have to mix? They've got arugula. That's kind of a leafy. And then iceberg is the go-to. I mean, who doesn't like a good iceberg?
Speaking of mix, what's this, Kyle?
Oh, wow. I can't believe you're doing it.
Well, you brought back a CD that you found in a stash.
I was going through my office, and I found some old media. And we've been doing so much archiving that it was on my mind that, you know, I should scan my negatives. I should do a bunch of digitizing. This is a mix. This is a DJ mix. And I won't say, I'm old enough that I get to lie wholesale about my age. So I'm 19 now.
Oh, please.
So I was DJing. This was when I was in the womb. This is 20 years ago. Yeah, before I was born.
This is 15-year-old Kyle from a mix. Tell us the scenario where you were making this.
I was in the attic of a guy's house I dragged my turntable case because that's what I saved up all my allowance for, to have turntables. And I had vinyl, and he was into Portishead and, like, doing a lot of production. So I was scratching, and he was sampling my scratches to use in his stuff. And then he let me do a mix. So I did a whole little mix there towards the end after.
Why
did
you have to go up in the attic with your turn?
That was where his studio was. He had, like, an MPC 2000. He had a whole, like, setup, and he was trying to kind of emulate Portishead-style stuff. So I did the scratching, and I was terrible at scratching. I got a lot better. Even my mixing, too. But recall, this is before Serato. This is no computers, no help. This is all ear.
It sounds pretty good.
So some of my mixing was terrible, but some of it, but it was all, you know, by ear. And I had a lot of house. I had a lot of break beats. I had a lot of big beat was really big. Chemical Brothers and all that. But, yeah, so this is my early stuff.
It's great just to go back and hear something from the past that you hadn't heard in a while. And you said you never even listened to this.
I did never listen to it. It's like I don't want to hear myself on the radio. But it was thankfully a good disc that was used, and we were able to rip it. So great that I brought it back. Great to actually hear what I was doing so many years ago. And I promise I will start DJing a little bit. Maybe I'll do an hour here at the station. Or, you know, get my hands back on the wheels of steel.
I think Kyle should do a vinyl show here at USB, and this place is awesome enough where I think that could work. But, hey, if you agree, write to us. OTW@2600.com. Write to us if you disagree. But we're going to head out of here because we have a basketball game coming up in about 3 minutes, women's basketball tonight. And we'll be back again next week with more fun and excitement and updates on the decline and fall of Western civilization. Which we should probably rename our show to. For Kyle Samanuel, have a good Thanksgiving. We'll see you next week. Good night.